You know, I'm thinking of some of the curves I've seen in breast cancer, which is kind of a more heterogeneous thing. For example, right now people break out ER positive, ER negative, HER2 positive, HER2 negative. Some of these people seem to have curves that look kind of like the colon curves, but the ER positives have a completely different looking curve. Any thoughts about that?
We don't have ability to do subgroups like that. We don't have the markers that tell us which colon cancer patients are at different risks. When we look at it really by stage, there's similar patterns, and that's about all we can do in colon cancer. We would love to be able to generate some tools, and I think that's something that was alluded to several times in the discussion by Dr. O'Connell, for example.
Right.
With developing some tools that help us distinguish these patients better.
Yeah, I know Soonpeg's got a bunch of people in the basement down there cranking away genomic analyses, and I think they're working with Genomic Health,
Absolutely. Actually.
And
yep.
They've already reported some data, and it's going to be really exciting to see what they come up with. But Mike also presented some data from the ACCENT database, and that kind of ties into this whole thing. And can you kind of summarize what he said, and particularly the thing that he was talking about in terms of, is there a difference biologically between stage 2 and 3? Because that kind of confused me.
Okay, sure. So Mike looked at four factors, and the question of interest was, what predicts how long people live after they recur? He looked at how quickly the patient recurred, and patients who had a quick recurrence did poorly after their recurrence. That's not surprising at
all. We've seen
aggressive
yep.
cancers, early recurrence, you're not going to do well. He looked at the era, the time period that patients were treated, and what we found was very, comforting to us, and that is that patients treated on later clinical trials did better after they recurred. And that even happened comparing the era 1978 to 1985 to 1985 to 1992, before there was any irinotecan, oxaliplatin, anything else, that even between those two time periods, patients in the later time period did better after they recurred, which suggests that it wasn't just treatment that helped those patients, that it was improved imaging to detect the recurrences earlier. Mm. It was other improvements in supportive care or better possibly starting to have some ability to do a surgical resection in a patient after their recurrence.
Could it just be the selection of types of patients who are going on these studies?
Could be. Though we did do multivariate analysis and adjusted for age, for stage, and for other factors, and it still showed up as significant.
So that's still pretty intuitive. But then
still
you got
intuitive.
Into the stage thing.
But then the stage question, which is actually the most powerful prognostic factor for how long a patient lives after they recur, is what their initial stage was. And that patients who had an initial stage 2 disease had improvement in survival following their recurrence, there was a risk ratio of about 1.5. So it was a pretty powerful prognostic factor, rather, for how long patients would survive. So why does that relate to biology? Well, once a patient recurs, why should their initial disease status matter? They have recurrent disease. Well, what it suggests is that in a patient that has stage 2 disease, their recurrence actually acts differently than a stage 3 patient and their recurrence. And so that could just possibly be some selection effect going on there as well, though it's hard to see why imaging would pick up stage 2 recurrences better than it would pick up stage 3 recurrences. I don't think that's likely. I think what Mike was suggesting was that this suggests that stage 2 disease is somehow inherently less aggressive than stage 3 disease, that something happens when your disease goes to the nodes, becomes stage 3, that tumor becomes more aggressive, and that aggressiveness is translated into the recurrence.
Although it doesn't mean it's not lethal, which I assume
Absolutely.
It is in each case. It's just a question of how long. I mean,
it is in each case, though in the stage 2 patients, 15% of patients were alive 6 years after their recurrence if you were stage 2. So there was a sizable subset of patients with initial stage 2 disease that had a good long-term outcome after their recurrence, which is clearly more than we would have expected.
What was seen in stage 3?
I don't have the exact number. It was on the order of 5%.
So it's kind of hard to figure out what's going on. I guess just biologically, we know that cancer is a heterogeneous disease that we just don't know how to classify yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that about as good as we can do to explain it?
That's about it. That's all I can say, yes.
Interesting. Getting back, though, to the issue of the time course, you then went, after you showed what you just described, and I guess the other thing that you showed, which was really a practical issue, was how few recurrences occur after, was it 5 years?
Right. After 5 years, it was less than 1.5% per year, and after 8 years, it was less than 0.5% per year in terms of patients who were still at risk who recurred.
These kinds of analyses, the one that you just described that Mike reported, particularly the correlation of stage with, you know, post-relapse survival, as well as the time course thing that you presented and the other part of that that we'll talk about, has this been done before in colon cancer? Has it been done at any cancers?
Well, in colon cancer, people have looked at this in individual trials, but these are pretty subtle issues, and within the context of any one trial, there's usually not enough data to really support a hypothesis one way or the other, which is why we've looked at this in the ACCENT. Some of these issues have definitely been looked at in other cancers. We know in breast cancer that there are late recurrences. I mean, that's been published. That's why breast cancer trials go out to 10 and 15 and 20 years, because
right.
there continue to be recurrences. There's been some recent work looking at the time course of adjuvant therapy benefit in breast cancer as well.
Right.
And I actually used one of those methods that was published by Dr. Engel in our analyses for the time course issue.
What about this issue of stage and post-relapse survival? Has that been looked at in colon cancer or any other cancers? I don't remember seeing that in breast.
To my knowledge, I have not seen that.
Interesting. So then you showed that, and of course, the other issue that came out from a very practical point of view is the question of screening, follow-up, when a patient can sort of take a deep breath. And I mean, we've kind of known this before, but I don't know that I've seen quite so definitive data saying that, you know, you get out there to 5 to 8 years, you're in pretty good shape.
That is an issue that really does require a large pooled analysis, because by the very nature of what we demonstrated, which is there's so few recurrences, any one trial can't give an estimate of that. They'll give an estimate of that rate, and it'll be small, but the confidence interval will be large because there's few events. Whereas when we have 20,000 patients, we can actually, with some reliability, demonstrate that that rate is very, very low.